Baseball is back.
He doesn't want a super spreader out there in the middle of the field.
The season is different. On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands.
You guys wanted to do it. You've been wanting to do it for months.
There's a lot to talk
about.
Who
are you kidding? Don't give me all that bull crap.
And this is the place to do it. This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big Y, Safety Insurance, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wines, Gravely, Budweiser, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Maybe more, Cash. The economics in this COVID-19 world, certainly have affected baseball like every other industry. Do you think money factors into decisions on this trade deadline for everybody more than maybe in a normal season?
I think it will to some degree. I mean, we're in a different economy. That's true outside of baseball. It's certainly true within baseball. Look, it's true for the Red Sox as well. In this deal, it was something that was important to Philadelphia to get that subsidy, and it was something that we felt, given the return, also made sense for us. So it's not something we take lightly, but at the end of the day, if we have a chance to get a talent package that makes sense for us, it's a lever we can pull, and we know it's going to have influence, this summer, as it always does to varying degrees.
It's a lever we can pull. That's High and Bloom talking to Tom Caron last night on Nesson. And I'll tell you what, here's what we're going to do tonight on the Baseball Reporters program. There is a lot going on in the sports world here today, this afternoon. And I'm not just talking about the games. I'm talking about way bigger than the games. So let me just get you caught up quickly on the latest news. If you heard Jim Murray in the headlines, then you already know this. But I do think it bears repeating. There were three NBA games scheduled today, three NBA playoff games. The Milwaukee Bucks were due to play first against the Orlando Magic this afternoon. I think the game is due to start, Jimmy Stewart, at 4 o'clock, right?
4:10 was the tip-off time.
4:10, and about 4 minutes before the game was to start, the Orlando Magic were the only team on the floor. The Milwaukee Bucks boycotted the game, and the Orlando Magic then walked off the court and said they would not accept a Bucks protest. The two
forfeit,
remaining
forfeit. They would not accept.
I'm
the
sorry.
Bucks
the Bucks forfeit. The Bucks forfeit. Thank you, Jimmy. The league has since postponed all three games, but only after Oklahoma City and Houston also said that they would boycott, as well as Portland and the Lakers.
And the Milwaukee Brewers have now decided not to play tonight's game, so it's affected baseball too. So there you go.
Okay, so there you go. And the Milwaukee teams are relevant, obviously, because the latest incident involving Jacob Blake. An African-American man who was shot in the back by white police officers, seven gunshots, I believe, right? Seven gunshot wounds happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Obviously, the Bucks, Milwaukee, and Wisconsin. So the Brewers now have joined the Bucks in protesting and will not play tonight. So that is obviously a major story in the world of sports. If there are any significant developments here over the course of the hour, we'll let you know what those are. But this is a baseball program. And certainly the Brewers' involvement in it, opens the door for us to go into that as well. But I just wanted to update everybody on that because it is a major story. 617-779-0985 is your number. As it pertains to the Red Sox. And you heard High and Bloom say right there, talking about the Red Sox including cash in the deal with the Philadelphia Phillies. And that it is, quote unquote, a lever the Red Sox can pull if necessary to make deals at this trading deadline. We are now 5 days before the August 31st trading deadline. Baseball's all systems go, at least at the moment. And so the Red Sox have an opportunity here to make more trades, further enhance their roster. And I've said to people over and over again, to anyone who would listen, that, boy, what a hole the Red Sox are in. And I don't mean the wins and losses. I mean the overall state of the franchise. 2 years ago, 2 years ago, they went 108-54. They won two out of every three games. Then they went 11-3 in the postseason, I think it was, and they won 119, steamrolled everybody on the way to the World Series. And for every game they lost, they won two. This year has been the exact opposite. For every game they've won, they've lost two. They're now 10-20. So 2 years after going 108-54, the Red Sox are now on pace to go 54-108. How do you like that? Their farm system sucks. They don't have a lot of money to spend, at least at the moment. And this is an important detail. They will have money to spend during the off season, presuming this season is finished, because they can then go over the luxury tax threshold again. But the free agent market sucks. So let me spell that out for you, at least as it pertains to pitching, which is their greatest need. So I'll lay it all out for you and explain it very simply. For the Red Sox to be good next year, they need pitching. But the pitching market in free agency sucks. And they don't have much in the way to trade, and they don't have much in the way of their farm system. So how do you fix it? How do you fix it? How do you get pitching without pitching coming up through your system and without pitching being available on the free agent market? How do you get it? Jim Murray, any theories? Any suggestions? How would you solve the problem? Or would you just punt?
I'd punt.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It is the kind of problem you would say you just punt. And in talking to Matt McCarthy here the last couple nights, I'll tell you what, we came to a conclusion. If you want the Red Sox to be a playoff competitor in 2021, there's really only one way out of this. Okay, playoff competitor in 2021 without compromising their long-term interest, which are, to rebuild a player development system, particularly as it pertains to the pitching, and put young talent in there. There's really only one way to do it. You got to trade from your big league roster now. You have to get young pitching in a deal. And then you have to go out and replace the talent on your roster in the free agent market with positional players. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's no pitching available in the free agent market, but there are some positional players that could help you.
Okay, Springer's out there, isn't he?
So that's exactly right. That's a good one, Murray. George Springer, and he would fit here if you trade Andrew Benintendi. So think about that. You trade Andrew Benintendi, and there's been a rumor here that the Cleveland Indians might be interested in Benintendi. So you deal him to Cleveland, you get yourself some pitching. And is that Mike Clevenger still slated or scheduled to pitch tonight for the Indians? I know they just brought him out of their camp. And so Clevenger's a guy that the Indians are willing to move. This feels like a showcase. So if you're the Red Sox, you trade Benintendi, you get some pitching. Maybe you trade J.D. Martinez. Eat some of the money. Again, and this is where Chaim Bloom's comment comes into play.
Is there any untouchable to you?
I don't believe in the term untouchable. Okay, my point is, if you make me a good enough deal, I'll trade anybody.
Well, sure. And so,
realistically, I'm not moving Bogarts. I'm not moving Rafael Devers. I'm keeping Verdugo. That might be it.
Yeah, even Devers, I think. So
I'm not moving Devers.
Bogarts for sure. I think he's as untouchable as you can come close to that, unless someone's going to bowl you over with like two, you know, frontline starting pitchers that are in their early 20s, you know. But I don't know who's going to do that. But if you can find someone to do that, then fine. Same with Verdugo, because I don't know. I like the kid's moxie. Devers, I don't know. With the way that he showed up, don't you kind of question his commitment a little bit?
Yes, I do. But again, I think you can get him back on the beam. He's too talented a young player to give up on. So he's good. He's talented. He's young. He's cheap. And the Red Sox need players like that. So I'm not giving up on Devers.
But Martinez and anything else that's not hammered down, see ya.
See you later. See you later. And J.D. Martinez is a big one. J.D. Martinez is a big one. If there's a team out there that needs offense and has pitching to deal, especially if baseball is going to go to a full, universal DH in 2021, and they're already doing it this year, and all indications are that they will proceed with a universal DH going forward, ooh, now's a good time to move them. And eat some of that money. Martinez's salary next year is $19 million, which is a good deal, relatively speaking. He's still high paid for a DH. But if you're the Red Sox, eat a chunk of it. Bring him down to 12. Murray, could you do me a favor just quickly, or Jimmy Stewart or whoever? Look up Nelson Cruz and tell me how much money he's making with the Minnesota Twins. Okay? And so I would say if you're the Red Sox, you call up a team that needs a DH. You say, we'll give you J.D. Martinez.
He signed a 2-year, $26 million deal.
13 a year.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to know. So it's 13 a year. So you say to a team, we'll eat the $6 million. He'll make the same money that Nelson Cruz makes. We'll eat $7 million. We'll make him cheaper than Nelson Cruz. We'll eat $7 million per year. You give us back a half-decent pitching prospect. Now you've traded Brandon Workman and Heath Embry for two 20-something pitchers with the Phillies. And not that either of those guys is an ace or a frontliner, but you get the idea. You're starting to restock your pitching depth. Then you trade Benintendi. Then you trade J.D. Martinez. Hell, maybe you trade Mitch Moreland. Maybe you trade Jackie Bradley. In fact, I'll go so far as to say, if Jackie Bradley is still here next week, that's a crime. Jackie Bradley should not be, and I use that figuratively, Jackie Bradley should not be playing for the Red Sox in 2021 or for the balance of 2020, really. He's not coming back next year anyway. Jackie Bradley makes $12 million a year. The Red Sox have no need for Jackie Bradley. They have a kid in AAA, Jaron Duran, who's ready to play in the big leagues. So that's one of the few spots that they're able to do this. Trade anything that is not nailed down. And then those areas that, those holes that you've created by moving Benintendi, by moving Bradley, by moving Moreland or Martinez, then you go out on the market and you spend your money there. And you change your lineup that way, and you still build it around Bogaerts and Devers. That, to me, is the only hope the Red Sox have of being true to the long term in terms of rebuilding the system and getting some pitching depth and young pitching, and at the same time bringing back a team next year that fans can look at and say, you know what? They've got a shot. They got a shot at making the playoffs. I don't know if they can win the World Series, but they got a shot at making the playoffs. And then if you have a good first half and you get to the July 31st trading deadline, then you make a judgment there as to what you want to do and whether you want to take a run at it. But at least buys you some time and it makes you interesting again. That, to me, is the way out. 617-779-0985. In the next segment, I am going to go over the free agent list with you, players who are available. But first, we'll take a couple of calls. Justin's in Brighton. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to hear your thoughts on how the Red Sox should address the closer position going forward, because they have not been able to fill that void since Kimbrough left.
So, Justin, honestly, it's the least of my concerns and the least of my worries. I don't give it a second thought, and I haven't even looked at the list of available relief pitchers yet in terms of who's out there on the market, what kinds of guys you might be able to bring in to fill the, you know, the back end of your pitching staff, specifically, as you said, as it relates to the closer. Okay, I haven't even gotten that far. I'm more worried about the rotation in the lineup. I'll start there. Closers, sometimes you can get lucky with. I mean, look at some of the guys that came out of the woodwork to be closers. I'll tell you what, this Nick Pivetta with the Phillies, if he can't start, and the Red Sox need starting pitching, stick him in the bullpen. Let's see if he can throw strikes and air it out and become a closer. Some guys just don't have the attention span to start. They don't have the depth of pitches and the focus on detail, and they just can't do it. But you stick him in the bullpen and air it out, maybe Pivetta can do it. He throws 97, 98. He's got a good curveball. Maybe that guy can do it. And I'm not saying that's the preferred route. It's the least of my concerns. Again, when we come back, I want to go over the free agent list. We'll go over some of the names that the Red Sox should be interested in. I'd love to hear your thoughts, too. Not something we typically do, is to throw player names against the wall. But this year, this team, it warrants it. That's next.
This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters, on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Talking everything baseball.
So if you're a Red Sox fan, here's what you think.
It's the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports
Hub. Ready, Devers ready. They lead all the way around. And he tags that one. Hot shot down the line. That's going to go all the way to the corner up against the fence. Jackie Bradley is in. Peraza coming around to score. And all the way down to third as three runs cross the plate is Rafael Devers, and the Red Sox lead it 8-6.
Throw me another slider. He was all over this slider. Hello, and he left it right out over the plate. That ball is just spinning down the middle, and he rifles this ball. Look out.
Ooh. Wow, look at the bounce over the head of Guerrero at first base.
This ball goes all the way down the line to the wall. You knew they were going to clear the bases. You just knew it, and Rafi's on his horse all the way to third. Bases clearing triple there for stand-up triple for Devers.
I think Devers could make it three bases and hold up. let alone actually hit it at a place in the ballpark where you could do it with someone trying to throw him out. Red Sox have a lot of work to do. Just in the last couple of days, I really started to develop some measure of hope. I think there's a way out of this. I told you. Trade for pitching now, and then whatever you trade away, and I'm talking about Benintendi, J.D. Martinez, guys off the big league roster, sign the replacements in the free agent market during the winter. Martinez is hard to replace. That middle of the order power, hard to find. But suddenly, I think there's actually a path out of this. Dan's in Pembroke. Go ahead, Dan.
I think they should consider trading Michael Chavis, because it's actually one of the positions that, if you look at their minor league systems, they have two first base prospects. And even with the second base, you've got Jeter Downs in that position. So I feel like he's a redundant position that they have guys in their system that they can replace him with. And he has the major league experience. So I think you flip him for like a plus pitching prospect and see what you get for that.
Okay, so Dan, the only thing I would tell you is you're not going to get a plus pitching prospect from Michael Chavis. And I'm also trying to focus on guys that teams want for a pennant run, okay, for a playoff run. So if you're a team and you want a bat, do you want Chavis? What's Chavis even batting this year?
He's exactly.
Chavis is just a guy. He's not even an everyday big league player. So I don't know that there's a lot of value there. What I know that Michael Chavis can do on a Hall of Fame level,
he's hitting .233.
Strike out. He can strike out like nobody's business. 60 at-bats this year, 27 strikeouts. He went 0-for-5 and struck out 5 times in a game the other night. Try doing that. That's hard to do in the big leagues, even in this day and age, where strikeout records are being set every year. Josh in New Hampshire on something a little off the grid, the impact of COVID on Fenway Park. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah. Does it force ownership to reseat Fenway so that we're not on top of one another? And
okay, so Josh, I'm going to let you go. Whether the seats are spread out or not, it doesn't solve the COVID problem. I mean, the seats aren't going to be 6 feet apart. Well, let's not get ridiculous. I shouldn't have taken that call. That was my fault. Stupid. Adam's in Woburn. Adam, what do you got?
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Good.
So even if we did trade Bogarts in a package and got some good pitching in return, wouldn't that leave a hole at shortstop? Like, who would be the guy to actually replace him? I think that's, like, the bigger problem if we did trade him away.
Okay, so again, this is sort of what I'm saying, though, and it doesn't necessarily apply to Bogarts in particular. But go out and sign someone. Go out and sign someone. And I'm not telling you I want to move Bogarts. I don't. But this is the whole idea. Take guys off your big league roster that can help other clubs now that are not instrumental to your long-term success. And by that, I mean Bogarts, Devers, you're keeping those guys. J.D. Martinez is a big hole to fill. Of all the guys that you would trade, believe it or not, as much as I think the guy's a dink and selfish, J.D. Martinez is a hard bat to replace. Remember that your offense and your lineup changed when Martinez came here in 2018. Everything changed when Martinez came here. I wanted Giancarlo Stanton at the time. They got Martinez. Boy, was I wrong. Because Martinez is a better hitter than Giancarlo Stanton. But the value that Martinez would have to another club in the race, huge. And so he right now to me is the perfect example of something you could do to fix your team or help your team. J.D. Martinez, you move, you get yourself some pitching. And again, I'm not talking about getting Max Scherzer. Okay, but you get yourself a good, middle of the rotation or number two starter or something that projects to that, preferably if it's a prospect. Fine, I'll take it. And then, you know what you do? You go out on the free agent market and you sign Nelson Cruz. And Nelson Cruz is currently, as Murray looked up, in the middle of a two-year, $26 million contract that pays him $13 million annually. So again, let me do all the math for you, because even the math works. The Red Sox are willing to eat money in trading some of these guys. So JD is due 19. The Red Sox say we'll pay 6 of that. They trade him to someone, and the other team only has to pay him now 13 or even 12. Maybe the Red Sox eat $7 million a year. Then they sign Cruz, and they give Cruz a similar contract to what he has now, and they give him 12 or $13 million a year. So at the end of the day, you know what the Red Sox have done? They haven't changed their payroll at all. They're already paying the $7 million on J.D. Martinez. They add Cruz's 12 to 19, which is what J.D. Martinez would have been due this year anyway. and then you get a pitching prospect back. Now, is Cruz quite the hitter that Martinez is? No. But he has got a lot of power. You need a power bat in the middle of the lineup. You put him with Bogarts and Devers and Verdugo. And now maybe you've improved your pitching and your lineup hasn't slipped much. And now maybe you actually start to have a baseball team again. Dante's in Linfield. Go ahead, Dante.
Hey, I just want to say good point on Pivetta. You know, I think he's like basically exactly Matt Barnes. Like, just throw him in the bullpen, let him air it out. But, I mean, I think priority number one should be trading Benintendi. Maybe it's just me, but I think he'll fetch more on the market than Martinez would.
He will, and, Dante. You're right.
And Verdugo allows you to do that. Because I think Verdugo, what we've seen from him, I think Verdugo is now what we thought Benintendi was going to be. So he gives you that opportunity to part with Benintendi, and, you know, you're kind of no better or no worse than you will be next year. So I really think moving Benintendi is the move, as opposed to moving Martinez, where maybe, you know, he turns into the Nelson Cruz type down the line. And, you know, I wouldn't, like you said, he's kind of hard to replace.
Okay, so Dante, but here's what I would tell you. Move both. Move both. Why do you only have to move one? I'm open to all these. Tell me, who do you want to move? I'm in. Other than Bogarts, Devers, and Verdugo. And maybe Vasquez, depending on what I could get. But if I got a good offer for Vasquez, at the end of the day, I would move him too. So tell me who you want to move. I'll move him. Benintendi, bye-bye. See you later. And so again, Bradley, bye-bye. And in terms of the outfield, again, look at it in these terms. You let Bradley go. You let Benintendi go. Now you say, well, I have two outfield spots to fill. Fine. Verdugo is staying. Jaron Duran may be ready to play in the big leagues next year. And he's a leadoff type with good speed. So now, is he ready to lead off in the big leagues next year? I don't know. You might have to fill a hole there for a little while. Maybe you have to bring Kevin Pillar back or someone like that on a $3 million contract or a $5 million contract instead of paying Bradley $12. Then when Duran's ready, you put him in there. And you know what else you do? Go sign George Springer. George Springer's a free agent. George Springer can play center field. So, now, it's not perfect. I'm not telling you any of this is perfect. You're going to lose Bradley's defense. But this is the type of stuff you have to look at. Trade Benintendi for pitching. Trade Bradley for something. Trade Martinez for pitching. Put Duran in center field and go get yourself George Springer. Spend your money on the positional player. It's doable. Quickly, Tom and Quincy. Tom, what do you got, pal?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I agree with just about everything, Tony. Honestly, I'd move Benintendi in a minute. I'd move Bradley in a minute. I wouldn't move Pillar if I didn't need to. I'd have Pillar move to center. And then, like you said, you go and you get Springer or Marcelo Zuna or someone that's, you know, around that 29 to 30-year-old age that you could lock up for a few years. Solid money, solid players, good offense, and then there you go. Pitching-wise, free agents, I want no part of any of them.
Oh, they're garbage, Tom.
They're absolute trash heap, Tony. Because I was looking, just age-wise, I think the youngest one is Stroman. He's 29. You're getting into the other guys that are 31, 32, the Mike Miners and this crap. No way.
Okay, so
you can trade for decent people? Great.
Yeah, so Tom, here's what I would tell you, and I'm going to let you go. Thanks for the call, as always. There's a couple of guys I like on that list. They're not all complete dog food, but nobody's an ace. So my point is I'm not overpaying for any of these guys. But if you tell me you want to go get Marcus Stroman and stick him in the middle of your rotation and you can give him, I don't know what he's making now. Let's say you can get Stroman for 2 years and $30 million, and that's high, I think. I'd have to look at what Stroman's contract is right now, but something like that, a short deal, and you could get Marcus Stroman on that type of contract, fine. Stick him in the middle of the rotation. No problem. I'm in. Absolutely. I'm just not going to – there's no ace out there is my point. And then you're still waiting for Chris Sale to come back, and then maybe something like that pans out and, you know, you actually have a half-decent team. I'm trying to punch up Stroman to see what his salary is. Stroman this year is making 12. Okay, and he didn't pitch. He opted out. So, I don't know, you give him 2 years, $30 million. Give him, say, yeah, we'll give you 15 per. We'll give you more than someone else is giving you. Come pitch for us. Yes, I would do that. But he alone does not solve your pitching problem. You need higher end than that. And more importantly, you need longer term than that. So, I told you, I've settled on the plan. I've settled on the plan. I just don't know whether Chaim Bloom can execute it. I do want to run the plan, however, by someone who I think is a hardcore baseball fan, a hardcore Red Sox fan, someone you know. We'll visit with Jared Karabas of Barstool Sports. We'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I told you I got it figured out. I got the plan. Finally came to me this week. I've got the plan to make the Red Sox competitive in the short term without sacrificing their future because they got to rebuild that farm system. Boy, what a disaster this has been this year. So I'll tell you what, I haven't talked to this guy in a while. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Let's bring in Jared Karabas of Barstool Sports, whom I have not spoken with in some time. I've texted with him. Are you now back in Boston? Have you moved home?
The Batcave is at an undisclosed location, Tony.
Okay, but it's not in New York.
It's not in New York, I can tell you that.
Okay, so that's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to hear that. So, look, since I haven't spoken to you in a while, let me start with the general question of how do you feel about your baseball team?
Not great, Tony. I'll be honest. I watch every single game, and I haven't enjoyed watching them at all. I think opening day was the last time I was happy.
Hey, you actually used the term an unwatchable product at one point, didn't you?
Yeah, I stick to that. I think this 2020 team is probably the most unwatchable Red Sox team I've ever seen, but not to be mistaken with unlikable. The 2012 team, I know Tony is a big proponent of the, I think it was the 2002 team, Tony?
Oh, very, it was 2001.
Very unlikable. 2001, yes. Yeah, because at least 2002 we had Cliff Floyd. I think the 2012 team was the most unlikable, but then you have this team, which is by far the most unwatchable.
Yeah, 2011 was up there, too. They weren't likable either. That's the team that collapsed at the end of the year, the chicken and beer team. Yeah. So, look, let me ask you, do you think there is a way out of this, Jared? Because I was just saying in the last couple of segments, and I came to this epiphany in the last couple of days. I've spent the majority of this season saying the Red Sox are porked. It's going to take them a long time to get out of this because the free agent market sucks. There are no quick fixes out there. And I thought this is going to be a 2 or 3 year process. Remember, the period you were just talking about, 2012, they finished last 3 times in 4 years, Jared. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that this dilemma that they have with their roster is similar to what they had then. It might even be worse. Then it occurred to me there's a way out of this thing. So let me, before I even tell you what it is, how would you fix the Red Sox?
How would I fix the Red Sox? I would have a full-blown fire sale minus some of your cornerstone pieces. I think I know that like Xander Bogaert's name has been mentioned, and that's not a guy that I'm moving. That's a guy that actually wants to be here, which is, you know, that's a tough sell these days. I think he buys in, and he's actually loyal. We had that conversation the last time I came on. But there are some pieces that I think you could get prospects back for. And, you know, the whole farm system thing, it's like, it's not like they don't have anything on the way. It's just they don't have anything on the way soon. Like everyone brings up Jay Groom as a guy. He's never pitched above single A before. So anyone that's like, yeah, like let's give him a look this year. Like, how about not? Like, how about let's not do that? So I don't necessarily think that it's a situation where the Red Sox are not in a position to compete within the next 2 to 3 years. But I'd love to hear your plan for how they can attain that.
Okay, so when people say they don't have anything, to me it's the same thing because I don't think you really become a prospect until double A. There are a lot of guys who do well in A ball and then they jump them up a level and they can't hack it and that's the end of them. And so to me, when you start seeing a guy perform at double A, you start to get some ideas to whether or not he can do anything in the big leagues. Just my 2 cents. Sure. But before I give you my master plan, let me ask you just a couple of questions about guys on the roster. You wouldn't move Bogaerts. I'm assuming you would not move Devers.
I would have to be blown away on Devers.
Okay.
And I also think that, like, I'm not entirely opposed But, like, I also don't think that it's wise to sell low on him. Again, like, this is a guy that, you know, I look at the years of control, and I think he has 4 years of control after this, maybe three. So that's not a guy that, you know, if we're talking about that window of being able to contend 2 years from now, 3 years from now, he can be a part of that. And I think that, you know, he's also an extension candidate where it's like, all right, you look at those 2 or 3 years of control, but who's to say that he's not a guy that you can't have around longer than that? And I think he is.
Okay, so I'll tell you what, let me just throw a couple more names at you, and I generally want a yes or no, because then I can put the pieces together from there. Verdugo, would you move him?
Yeah, I would. It depends, like, for pitching, for ready. I wouldn't move Verdugo for prospects. If Verdugo's going, then you're talking about a player with, like, 5 years of control. I want a major league ready starting pitcher, like, right now.
Okay, J.D. Martinez.
Reluctantly. I love J.D. Martinez, but I don't think that the Red Sox want to pay him beyond this year, and there's no point in having him play out the string here if you can get something for him right now.
They should absolutely move J.D. Martinez. See you later. You can replace him. Close enough, anyway. You can go sign a bat on the free agent market, which I'll get to in a minute. What about?
I agree with that, Tony. Like, what about how different the offense looked from 2017 to 2018?
I agree.
It was entirely different, and you could totally attribute a lot of that to J.D. Martinez being a presence in the lineup, which I know that you were big on that back in the day with Adrian Gonzalez, saying that there's no cornerstone bat. They need a guy that can be the number three hitter, the middle of the order bat, and then they get him. J.D. Martinez was that guy and more for you, but I understand he hasn't been that this year, and I'm firmly in the camp of I don't think that the Red Sox necessarily want to pay him beyond this year. So, yeah, if you can get something for him, sure.
Okay, I would go get pitching for J.D. Martinez, and everything you said about the bat is true, but they need pitching. Mitch Moreland.
Yes.
Jackie Bradley.
Yes.
Andrew Benintendi.
That's another guy where it's a sell low. I mean, like, do I think Andrew Benintendi is as – I know that you're not high on him, and you think that he's either an average to below average big league player. But I think that Benintendi is a guy that you also don't want to be like, he's been awful this year. You can have him. Like, I think that he can come back next year and build up value if that's the route that you want to go. I don't think that's a move right now, guy.
Okay, so I'm not saying I give away. I'm moving Benintendi because he's, you know, he's a solid everyday major league player. I'm not. If you're not going to get value for him, what's the point? So I'm not giving him away. Now, sure. Let me ask you one more question before I get to the master plan. What do you think of Jaron Duran?
I think that we'll see him this year. I don't necessarily know. Like, if you're talking about, like, top prospect guy, I still think that that's Tristan Cassis. I mean, that guy's a moose. I don't know if you've ever been around him before. But, yeah, from every, like, scout that I've talked to, they're like, that's the guy. But, yeah, Duran is one of those guys that I think could be in that tier below, like, top prospect, but still comes up and makes an impact.
Okay, so the reason I ask you that is because I wonder if Jaron Duran is in their plans for next year to play in the big leagues. Maybe he's not at the beginning of the year, maybe it's halfway through, but I think he factors into their big league plan. So now let me tell you what my master plan is. The free agent market sucks for pitching, Jared. It mm-hmm. sucks. Now, yeah. You communicate with a lot of players. I don't know if you do it by phone, by text, whatever, but you communicate with a lot of players. So here's what I would do if I were the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. Jaron Duran's coming up. There's no pitching on the free agent market. So you know what you do? You trade outfielders and offense from your lineup. You go get some pitching in these deals. And when I say pitching, I mean you got to go get yourself a number two or a number three starter. You're not going to get an ace. Okay, you're not going to get an ace. And you try to get some young, better arms to fill out both your rotation and your system. So that means Benintendi, if Cleveland's going to bite and they're going to give you something good, then you move them. J.D. Martinez, if you have to eat half the money and to move them and get rid of them, fine, do that. And then go out and sign a guy like Nelson Cruz and stick him in your lineup. Then if you trade Benintendi, go out and sign George Springer. And George Springer's a New England guy, right? He's from Connecticut. He went to UConn. Again, you communicate with players. Would George Springer play for the Red Sox?
I don't think that he wouldn't play for the Red Sox, but I don't know that I'm giving George Springer what he's asking. It's not, I mean, like, the Red Sox are going to have money if they play past August 31st, but do you really want a 30-year-old outfielder that's going to command top dollar that has a large injury history?
Okay, so again, tell me how long the contract is and what the money is, and if it's better than what I can pay a pitcher, then yes, I do.
Yeah, I'd have to see the price tag, but I would imagine that it's something that you could probably get similar production for a lot less from a younger player.
Like who?
I'd have to look at like what's out there. I mean, it could be via trade. It could be internally, I guess, like Durant, obviously. Like, what if Durant comes up and he is putting up, like a wins above replacement that's better than George Springer's because
Jared. Don't give me the wins above replacement. Jaren Duran.
Oh, Tony.
No, don't. Just take that out for a minute because half the people don't understand what the hell it is. Just stop.
Let's explain.
Who's got more power, Duran or Springer?
People, then what wins above replacement is because you cannot negate that it's a valuable statistic when anyone that leads that statistic wins the MVP.
It's not just about the wins above replacement. My point is,
can you
shut up for a second? Hold on. You won't stop talking. If we talk over each other, nobody can understand anything, so I put you on hold. Just listen for a second. If you're going to trade J.D. Martinez and Ben Attendi, and you're going to take power out of your lineup, you got to sign power back. That's all I'm telling you. If you tell me that it's a war guy with power, I'm in. But you got to get some power.
Sure. Yeah, no doubt. But, I mean, you can't negate that statistic in terms of evaluating a player's talent.
I don't negate the statistic. I'm just telling you that I need some power back. If it's a war, I'll satisfy your need for war. I will satisfy that if the guy has power. I'm just not going to go get a war guy who plays defense and runs well. That's not going to do it for me.
No, but we're not talking about a cornerstone bat. We're talking about replacing a Jackie Bradley Jr.
I'm talking about if you move multiple guys, you're going to need some bats. You're going to need Nelson Cruz and George Springer. You're going to need guys like that. That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
You're going to have to go pay for offense and then trade your current guys for pitching. That's the only way out in the short term. Last question.
Yeah, in the very, very short term, because you're talking about Nelson Cruz would be in his age 41 season next year.
Yep.
And then George Springer is he's on the wrong side of his prime. Like he's on if your prime years are 28 to 31 or whatever, 27 to 31, like he's pretty much at the end of that.
Correct. Now. But I don't want to suck next year while I'm trying to rebuild the Red Sox. That's what I'm telling you. I want both. I want both. Before I let you go, let me ask you one question, because you may have the answer to this. Why hasn't anybody asked J.D. Martinez why he didn't pinch hit in New York, and do you know the reason?
I do know the reason. That just didn't happen. Like, the whole thing about J.D. Martinez, like, I think I was on with Beadle, like, a week or two ago, and, like, the narrative was that he refused. That didn't happen, and... I don't know why Ron Renicki. I don't know if someone asked Renicki after the game about it. I don't watch those Zoom calls. But if someone flat out asked Ron Renicki, did JD refuse to pinch hit in New York? The answer to the question is no, that didn't happen. And I don't know why it was perceived that way. But like that flat out, I know for a fact did not happen.
Okay. If you say so, I suppose I'll take your word for it. I don't want to believe it. I thought the way Renicki explained it to me suggested JD had a hand in it. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to let it go because I got to let you go. All right?
Okay.
All right, listen, good to hear from you, as you know, anytime.
Let's do it again, Tony.
All right, likewise, and good luck in the Batcave.
Thank you so much.
Okay, there you go. Jared Carabas, no longer in New York. I think he moved, he won't tell us where the Batcave is, but he moved up here, I think, again.
If I had to guess, it's probably in Saugus.
Yeah, if I had to guess, it's in his mother's basement.
No, he's got his own place.
I'm teasing. I love Jared. He's a good guy.
Agreed.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.